This is Alive with Joseph.
In the first service, we're dealing with the part 3A of stubborn faithfulness. We're on our series, I Am Unbreakable. I am unbreakable, or I will not break. So I'll be looking at stubborn faithfulness, part 3B. Stubborn faithfulness, part 3B. So let me begin with this statement this morning. And the statement is, truth is truth, even if you're not experiencing it yet. Truth remains truth, even if you are not experiencing it yet. For example, God is good. That is truth. So there are times that where you feel like you are not experiencing the goodness of God. You are experiencing something bad. That doesn't cancel the fact that God is good. Because truth remains truth, even if we are not experiencing it in the present state. Facts do not change the truth. But truth will always change facts. So the fact is that you may be feeling like things are going terribly around you. But the truth is God is good, irrespective of what you are going through. That is the truth. God is good, irrespective of what you are going through. And if you hold on to the truth will eventually change the fact. And I declare over you this morning, by the truth of God's word, let every fact in and around your life be changed in the name of Jesus. I say, let the facts be changed in the name of Jesus. I declare you will not break in the name of Jesus. So truth remains truth, irrespective of our current state, irrespective of our present battles and challenges. It does not negate the truth that the goodness of God will forever abound to humanity. So let's get into our text, John chapter 6, verse 65 to 68. I read the NIV translation. It says, he went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So we have started this series and we've built it up until this point. As I handled the last session of this series, we dealt with 3A in the morning in the first service, which everybody will have access to on Tuesday night. Please tune in by 7 p.m. Now, we've been looking at, you know, stubborn. We looked at stubborn faith. We looked at stubborn focus. Because if you are going to be a believer that is built to last, you will also require, you know, these ingredients. You're going to require stubborn faith. You're going to require stubborn focus. For you to be built to last, you're going to be a believer that requires stubborn faith, that requires stubborn focus. And this week, we are looking at another ingredient required for us to be built to last. If you're going to be that believer that is unbreakable, then you are going to require stubborn faithfulness. Stubborn faithfulness. As we ease into our discussion, I want to share with you a word that I believe exposes us, you know, to what God is trying to help us realize and understand in this season. Understand that God wants to move you and I from ordinary to extraordinary. God wants to bring us to the place where, you know, we are distinguished from the ordinary person that is out there. And when you look at the book of John chapter 6, it gives us the concept is captured in the book of John chapter 6. A word that I believe that when you and I are able to grasp it, that word is able to separate us and make us different from the ordinary person. That word is what makes everyone different. Those who are extraordinary makes them different from those who are ordinary. And it is the word commitment, or which is translated as faithfulness. The word commitment is captured in John chapter 6, where we have read, you know, now. That word is commitment. Commitment or faithfulness is the key that unlocks the door to your next. Faithfulness is the foundation of every great accomplishment. I will interchange between commitment and faithfulness, but they are all saying the same thing. Commitment is the foundation of every great accomplishment. It is the bridge that you and I must cross if we are to move from proclamation of the promises of God to possessing the promises of God. Faithfulness, commitment. If you and I are to go from proclamation of the promises of God to coming to the place where we are possessing the promises of God, then there must of necessity be commitment. It has been said, and I believe it, that motivation is what gets you started, but commitment is what keeps you going. Nothing works without commitment. A diet will not work without commitment. A workout regimen will not work without commitment. A budget will not work without commitment. A student cannot pass their studies without commitment. Boundaries don't work without commitment. Marriages do not work without commitment. Hear me, friends. Nothing works without commitment. And that also includes our spirituality. Our spirituality cannot work without commitment. Your spiritual life cannot move forward without commitment. Commitment is an essential character that the believer must develop. And commitment is an essential character for you experiencing the best that God has for you. And I pray for you in this season. May you develop that character in the name of Jesus. I say, may you develop that character in the name of Jesus. Now, the word commitment adequately and accurately describes God himself. There are a whole lot of words you'll find in scriptures that you and I can use to describe the nature and the character of our Heavenly Father. Yet, commitment is the most important word that describes God. And yet, it is one word that we often overlook. Without commitment, God will not be who he is. And like what Pastor Dean was preaching yesterday, God has already pre-decided to save us. That's commitment. His pre-decision is based on his commitment. So you and I must understand that without commitment, God will not be who he is. Do you know that the only reason why you and I are still here today is because God has been committed to us. Even when we were not committed to him, he has been committed to us. All through our scriptures, God will always declare his commitment to us as his children. All throughout the Bible, we see individuals as well who have experienced the commitment of God. We see individuals who their conversations indicate the revelation they have had about God's commitment to humanity. David was one of those such people who had the revelation of God's commitment. And he said in one of the Psalms that he wrote, he said, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. That is commitment. David also made a statement in Psalm 27 verse 10. He said, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. That is commitment. Child of God, our Heavenly Father, he is a committed father. And I pray for you, may you experience that aspect and dimension of God in the name of Jesus. I say, may you see and realize that God is a committed God in the name of Jesus. God is committed. The sage Solomon said in the book of Proverbs chapter 18 verse 24, he said, a man that had friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. God is committed. God is coming. And I think you and I, you know, when you wake up every morning, you need to pause for the cause and give God praise for his commitment, because his commitment woke you up in the morning. If God was not committed, through your sleep, you will have passed on. But thanks be to God that he is forever committed. He is committed in the morning, committed in the noonday, committed at night. He is committed when we are unfaithful. He is committed when we are faithful. At all times, he is committed. And I believe this is the right place for you and I to lift our voices and give this God his highest praise that he deserves. Give him our highest praise. Give him our highest praise. He is a committed God. If you believe God has been committed to you, lift your voice one more time. Celebrate him this morning. Give him praise. God is committed. God is committed. Commitment is not just a trait that God possesses. It is a trait he encourages you and I as his children to adopt. Not because he needs us to be committed, but because you and I need it. Not because our commitment changes anything about him. It doesn't affect his nature. He remains God. Whether you and I are committed or not, he is God all by himself. But you and I, we need that commitment. So our commitment to God is not for God. Our commitment to God is for ourselves. Our commitment to God is for ourselves. So there are primary things commitment does to us, which I will run through this morning. Number one is commitment or faithfulness. Commitment helps you to experience elevation. Commitment helps you to experience elevation. Matthew 25, verse 23, the Bible says, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The word the Bible uses for commitment, as I said earlier on, is also the word faithfulness. So here in the text, the Lord of his servant said to him, you have been faithful. You have been committed in few things. Now I will make you ruler over many things. He said, enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Some people do not get further in life, not because they are not talented, not because they are not gifted, not because they don't have the skill set, not because they are not graced, not because they are not anointed, not because the mantle is not on them. They do not go further in life simply because they are not committed. They are not committed. That is why they don't go further in life. They are not faithful. Have you ever wondered what the level of increase you could have come into if your commitment level was beyond what it is right now? Where will you be if you increase your commitment level, if you increase your faithfulness level? And your adversary, the devil, is aware of this reality. So as a consequence of this, the adversary attempts to do everything he can to cut short the believer from commitment, because he knows if you stay committed long enough, something shifts in your favor. He knows. So he fights every day to get you out of faithfulness, to get you out of commitment, because he knows that if you stay committed long enough, something will shift in your favor. He knows if you commit to the study of scriptures long enough, light will break forth, and that thing that has limited you will have no choice but to break. It will scatter. Why? Because when light shines in darkness, the darkness cannot comprehend it. So he gets you not to be faithful to the study of scriptures. He gets you not to be committed to the study of scripture, because he knows the longer you stay, the more light will shine in darkness. Hallelujah. He knows if you stay committed to prayer long enough, you will generate the necessary power required to overcome that challenge you are battling with. He knows you will shift to the next level when you stay committed to prayer long enough. So what does he do? He gets you committed to prayer today. He shifts your focus tomorrow. He gets you committed today. You pray today. Tomorrow you don't pray. You pray another day. You go on recess. By the time you come back again, you start from square one, you start on. So he knows that, okay, I know I cannot stop God from answering their prayers, but I can get them to be inconsistent with their prayer life so that they do not receive the answers that is already available to them. Give Jesus praise this morning. So he knows he can't stop the answers. The answers have been given. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But he can get you to the place where you receive nothing. You receive nothing. For a double-minded man. So he gets you to be double-minded through lack of faithfulness on the altar of prayer. So your adversary understands that your elevation is tied to your commitment. If you're going to experience elevation, you must understand the biblical place of commitment. Commitment also does not only help you to experience elevation, commitment also helps you to experience evolution. You becoming the person God has called and crafted you to be does not happen immediately. It happens incrementally. There are times you will have a transformative moment where God accelerates things in your life in a moment. But friends, God never completely transforms your life in a moment. There can be seasons where God accelerates your transformation, whereby you cover more grounds in a short space of time. But listen, friends, transformation takes more than a moment. So your evolution will not happen immediately. It will happen incrementally, and it will require your commitment. You must be willing to be like Jacob, to be so committed to the person God is calling you to be that you begin to wrestle with yourself. You are committed to the person God is calling you to be. If you're not committed to the person God is calling you to be, you will not be able to wrestle with yourself, because you need to wrestle with the you now so that the you of tomorrow can find expression. But if you're not committed, you cannot be able to wrestle with the you now so that the you of tomorrow will find expression. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Celebrate the Lord. Hallelujah. In our text, let's look at Genesis. Let's look at Genesis 32:24. The text says that Jacob wrestled with a man. And at the end of the story, in verse 28, he said, "You have wrestled with God and have prevailed." So in Jacob's wrestling, it was a wrestling that involved God. But it was also a wrestling between Jacob and Israel. It was a wrestling that involved God, but also a wrestling between Jacob and Israel. The old Jacob and the new Jacob were wrestling. So whether or not, friends, listen carefully, whether or not you evolve is going to be based on whether or not you win the wrestling match between the you that you are having now and the you that is supposed to manifest tomorrow. Whether or not you win that match, you are having with yourself, because the you of tomorrow cannot manifest if you do not win the battle of today. And child of God, you must be willing, to wrestle until you win. It will require commitment for you to continue to wrestle until you win. You must be willing to wrestle in a way that says, just because this has been me doesn't mean this is supposed to be me. Just because this has been me doesn't mean this is how it has to remain. You have to wrestle in a way that suggests that your history is not your destiny. You wrestle in a way that suggests that your challenge is not your definition. Your past is not your future. Just because this is the you now that you have been, doesn't mean that is the you that you are called and created to be. So until you wrestle, but the wrestling will require commitment. Without commitment, you cannot wrestle out the Israel that is in you. If Jacob was not committed, he would have stopped wrestling. Bible said he wrestled until the daybreak. There was a level of commitment. He knew that there is something called Israel. There is a person called Israel on the inside of him. But the Jacob of today was interfering. But he stayed committed. He stayed committed. I pray for you. May you stay committed in the name of Jesus. I say, may you stay faithful in the name of Jesus. Let your amen come like thunder. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. You have to wrestle as men. We must wrestle. We must wrestle as men. Listen, every man, listen to me. You and I must wrestle. There is a mighty man in you. There is a mighty man. There is a mighty man in you that the battles of yesterday is interfering with. Your upbringing is interfering with. You may have come from a household where no man was an example. That is a wrestling. But you stay committed. I know I never had any father figure. Nobody was there. No man showed me how to be a man. But I'm going to wrestle. Stay with the Spirit of the living God until he makes me the man that God has called me to be, irrespective of my deficiencies and inadequacies. Give Jesus praise this morning. Hallelujah. So you tell yourself, I'm going to wrestle with me until I win. I'm going to wrestle with me until I win. I'm going to wrestle with me until I win. Is there anyone this morning who will be honest with themselves and say to themselves, most of my wrestling has actually not been with the devil. Most of my wrestling have been with myself. Most of your wrestling has not been with the devil. It's with yourself. It's with yourself. is with yourself. And the commitment to becoming the version of yourself that God has called you to be is the key to experiencing the version of who God has ordained for you to be. Number three, commitment makes you unbreakable. Commitment makes you unbreakable. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 9, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So your reaping season is predicated and dependent on your unwillingness to break. He didn't say you will reap in due season. Take note of that. Look at the scripture very well, very, very well. He didn't say you reap in due season. Because sometimes we erroneously assume that we erroneously assume that we must just wait for our harvest time or due season to manifest. But he didn't say you will reap in due season. He said, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So if you keep fainting, there will never be a harvest season. If you keep fainting, there will never be a harvest season. So can that explain why many never come into their harvest season? Because they keep fainting. They keep fainting. They keep fainting. So he says here that if we faint not, that is to say, it doesn't matter if it is the right time. If you have the wrong traits, there will be no reaping. If you have the wrong traits, the right time can come and you miss the harvest. So the right time is not what actually determines the harvest. It is the right traits, commitment, faithfulness. Now, you missing the harvest is not because it was bad timing. It was simply because it was bad traits. Hallelujah. You know, Sean gave an example in the first service talking about, you know, he went to do a car and somebody was, you know, bad-mouthing the owners of the place, not even knowing who he was, if he was close to the person or not. Now, such a person, do you think he will ever come into a harvest? He can't. Even if he's in a season of harvest, he can't. Do you know why? Because he doesn't have the right traits, which is faithfulness in little. So, guess what? Such a person starts fighting the devil. The devil has hindered my harvest. No, the devil didn't hinder your harvest. You don't have the right traits. So, in as much as it is in due season you will reap, if the trait is the key. And I pray for you, may you develop the right trait so that you don't miss your harvest in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you have the wrong traits, right time can come and you still miss the harvest. So you missing the harvest is not because it was bad timing. It was simply because it was bad traits. So the text says, if you faint not, child of God, I came this morning to let you know you have come too far to give up. And I declare you will not give up in the name of Jesus. The road may not have been easy. I pray for you this morning. Let the everlasting arm of God uphold and strengthen you in the name of Jesus. I believe that God has not brought you this far to leave you. I don't believe that you have come this far to give up. And I declare, whatever makes you want to give up, I prophesy, it is cleared out of your life in the name of Jesus. I tell you, it is removed from far from you in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice, say, oh Lord, I will not give up. Thunder, oh Lord, I believe you have not brought me this far to leave me. If you believe that, say amen to that. Give Jesus your praise this morning. So don't abandon what God has promised. It will work eventually. Just because it's not working immediately doesn't mean it will not work. Commitment makes you unbreakable. What Satan wants to do in many cases is to break your will. And Satan specializes in using secondary things to get to the primary things. So whatever the devil is attacking now is not actually what he is after. Because when you look at the life of Job, for example, you will notice that what Satan was messing up around him was not what he was after. Satan was after Job's commitment and faithfulness. He wasn't after Job's wealth. He wasn't after Job's family. He wasn't after anything. Job, he was after Job's commitment and faithfulness. Sean said in the first service that Job didn't have the Bible to actually strengthen him.
There was no preacher to preach to him. There was no podcast message. There was no YouTube message. There was no morning prayer. But yet, Job remained faithful, committed, because he knew that what the devil was after is his commitment. The wife even told him, curse God and die. The wife said to him, curse God and die. So most times, what Satan is messing up around you is not what he is necessarily interested in. What he is after is your commitment. He is after your faithfulness. So everything Satan is messing up around you is not what he wants. He is only using the secondary thing to get to the primary thing. So he messes up your car. He doesn't need your car. Is he going to drive your car? He's a spirit. He doesn't drive cars. He appears. He functions by the speed of thought. He functions, not even the speed of light, the speed of thought. That's how the devil functions. If he wants to be in the United States now, he can be here now, and in a split second, he's in the United States. He functions by the speed of thought. He doesn't fly aeroplane. He doesn't need a private jet. He doesn't need immigration. He doesn't need a passport. He doesn't need a car. So he messing up your car, not because he wants to drive your car, but he's looking for your commitment. He's looking for your commitment. He is after your commitment. He messes with your business. He doesn't need a business. He messes with your career. He doesn't need your career. What he is coming after is your commitment and your faithfulness. And most times, when the devil messes those things up, we give up our commitment. We give up our faithfulness. We give up the thing that has made us who we are, which is the character of God that you and I must develop. So what he's messing with may be a primary thing to you, but it's a secondary thing to him. So he wants to use that thing, you know, as a doorway to get to what he really wants in your life. And that is your commitment. And listen, friends, the only way to get the devil defeated is by you making sure that you stay faithful, you stay committed in the face of battle, in the face of challenges, in the face of battle. And that is the only way you can experience victory experientially. That is only how you can experience victory, you know, if you stay committed in due season, if we faint not. If we faint not. So you can tell the devil to return back to hell where he belongs to. After he has messed up with your business and he expects you to curse God and die, you tell him, I'm not going to curse God. I will continue to give God praise, because before the business, I have been following after God. And after the business, I will continue to follow after God. Hallelujah. I will not give up my commitment. I will not surrender my faithfulness. You can come after my health. I will not give up my commitment. I will not surrender my faithfulness. You can come after my children. Come after my business. Come after my job. I will not give up my commitment and my faithfulness. Do I have witnesses in the house this morning? Do I witnesses in the house this month? Those that are saying, Satan, no matter what you hit in my life, my commitment and faithfulness will forever remain the same. If you're that person, give Jesus praise this morning. Give him praise this morning. Listen, friends, don't give the devil the pleasure of getting what he is after in your life. Tell the devil, no matter what you do, no matter what you throw at me, I will be faithful. Child of God, your commitment and faithfulness should be non-negotiable. And the ultimate example and the expression of commitment is Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is committed to you and I. And our text in John chapter 6 is a teaching tool that gives us direction. It gives us also instruction. The text exposes us to an example of unbreakable commitment displayed by the disciples. In this text, we were given the opportunity to eavesdrop on a conversation Jesus was having with his disciples. He was not just having this conversation with the 12 initial disciples. There were a larger group of people who, you know, were claiming relationship with him. And at this particular time of his life, I believe that he got to a point where he feels that I don't want fake friends around me. Because in this particular, there were more than, you know, 12 of them who said they were disciples. And Jesus, what he does here is to engage them in a hard saying. Jesus engages them in a hard saying. He engages them in a hard saying. So he looked at them. Let's go to the text quickly. Let's back up a bit. Go up a bit from verse 60. Let's see from verse 60. Okay, move up a bit. Move back a bit. Go to verse 58, where he's talking about, thank you. I want where he's talking about how you will eat my flesh and drink my blood. Thank you. So he said here, as he that eateth, thank you so much. Yeah. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. He started the test. Next verse. And as the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me even shall live by me. 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forevermore. Verse. Then this thing said he in the synagogue as a thought in Capernaum. Many therefore of the disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? This is a hard saying. What are you talking about? Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up, there he shall be. Then verse 63 now says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now go back to verse 65. Now, in the earlier part, he told them what got them angry. He said, you know, you eat my flesh and drink my blood. I believe they all sat there and said, so this man wants us to, this man is turning us into a cannibalist. So we must begin to eat your flesh and eat your drink. What kind of a, who do you think you are? That you're offering us your flesh and your blood. What? Who do you think? Where are you coming from? We know you. Are you not Joseph's son, the carpenter? What's your problem? And they looked at him and they said, this is a hard saying. Now, after that, when you now back up to verse 65 to 68, he went on to, now, they all left. All of them left. He now came to them. This is why I told you that no one can come unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. He now turned to the 12. Do you also want to leave? Because this text shows us, you know, the power of commitment. It shows us the power of commitment. This text here exposes you and I to the power of commitment. So these men, they were all there following Jesus, claiming that they are followers of Jesus, claiming that they love the Lord, claiming everything. But when he began to clearly communicate his expectation concerning the relationship and the standards required for the people that will hang out with him, the very moment he communicated that, they exited the relationship. Listen, ladies, when you enter a relationship, clearly get the definition of the relationship. What are we into? What is this we're doing? Jesus had to clearly define the relationship that, listen, anyone that will follow me, he knew that he had mixed multitudes following him who are not committed to him, but they are committed to the famous Jesus. They are committed to the famous Jesus. And the hard saying was intended to accelerate the exposure of the level of their commitment to him. I believe Jesus was saying, I'm too busy to find out later in my journey that you all are not the real ones. How many ladies have been in a relationship 10 years, 20 years? They later find out that the man is not the real one. How many men have been in a relationship and they later find out the woman is not the real one? Why? Because expectations were not clearly communicated at the initial journey. And Jesus here, he knew that I only have 3.5 years to live on the earth. I only have 3 years to do ministry. I don't have time to waste. I don't have time to waste. I don't have time to keep investing in people who are not committed to the cause. So he told them, gave them the hard saying. He was saying to them, I know, let's avoid getting to the place where, you know, I have to depend on you. Then I find out that you are not dependable. How many are in a situation where they find out late in the journey that the ones they were depending on is not dependable? Why? Because they did not test the commitment level. So he decided not to hide the reality of what it will be to take the walk with him. He communicated his expectation for the relationship and the standard required for the people that will hang out with him. So Jesus had to put their loyal love to test. He puts their loyal love to test. Hear me, friends. You do not know that people are not loyal until they have the opportunity not to be. So in our text, Listen very carefully. When you follow the discussion, after he spoke to them, in verse 66, he said here, in verse 66, from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Many of them got offended. They turned back. They stopped following him. They turned back. They stopped following. The New Living Translation puts it this way. At this point, many of the disciples turned away and deserted him. Any love that doesn't outlast offense is not love. It's infatuation. The strength of commitment is exposed in the season of inconvenience. The strength of our commitment and faithfulness to God is exposed in the seasons when things are not going the way it ought to go. Will you still be committed when all hell has broken loose around you? Will you still be committed when the business is not thriving, when career is not flourishing, when marriage is on the rocks? Will you still be committed when sickness hits your body? I've discovered in my little years of pastoring that often people walk away from God when things are difficult. Why? Because they were never committed to him in the first place anyway. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise this morning. When it gets difficult, will you still commit? Ask yourself that. Ask yourself, when it gets difficult, will I still commit? Don't answer, just, leave. Nothing works in this season without commitment and faithfulness. Any believer who has been long in the faith will tell you, it gets difficult, but unbreakable faithfulness will always outlast difficult times. You don't quit when it gets difficult. When life gets hard, does the hardness harm your faithfulness? The hardness of life, does it affect your faithfulness? Because for you to be a believer that is not easily broken, a believer that will not break, you must develop stubborn faithfulness, stubborn commitment. Commitment that says, I will not surrender. I will not give up my journey of faith with God despite what I am going through. And the last one, number four, commitment helps you endure detours. It helps you endure detours. What is a detour? It is when God takes an unexpected route to an expected end. When God takes an unexpected route to an expected end. It is when God takes you the way you don't want to go, but brings you ultimately to where he wants you to get to. Example of that was Joseph. God was taking him to the palace, but he didn't show that he was taking him to the palace he had shown him, but he didn't take him through any other route. It took him through the pit, took him through, Potiphar's wife's accusation, and took him through the prison before he could get to the palace. God didn't just pick him from Israel and brought him to Egypt straight to the palace. The destination is still the same, but the route changes. When the route changes, will you still commit to the destination? The route changes. The route changes. He is God all by himself. He said to the Jews that I took you through the long route because I needed to test what is in your heart. And I took you through the wrong route as well because you were not ready for certain battles. When the battle arrives, you will turn back. So I took you through, not because destination has changed. Often, it looks like destination has changed. Why? Because the route God is taking us through is not the route we have predetermined in our hearts or predecided in our hearts. It is hard to stay committed during detours. Can you imagine how hard it was for Joseph to stay committed to God during the detours he experienced? Can you imagine how tempting and how hard it was for Joseph to walk away from his commitment during the detours? He could have walked away. He could have walked away when he was thrown into the pit by his brothers. His clothes of many colors was smeared with blood. They sold him as slave. He was still committed. He arrived in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife came as an agent of darkness. He was still committed. He said to Potiphar's wife, I will not do this against the law, not even against your husband or against the laws of Egypt, but against the law. He was still committed. He arrived in prison. He was still committed. Every situation presented itself to force him out of faithfulness, but he refused. Can you still be committed? Because, friends, stubborn faithfulness survives seasons where the activities does not meet our expectations. And it is you telling yourself that you will not make an idol out of outcomes. Now, this, wherever God is taking you, will always be the best for you. I'm committed long enough to see why God has allowed it. Why do people visit Inyangas when they go through battle? Because they are not committed to God in the first place. So they are looking for alternative and options. So in the morning they join 5 a.m. prayers. In the afternoon, they go and collect something. They go and look for who is going to prophesy to them. You know, please, can you see? Can you see for me? Because they are not committed to God. The prayer they are just prayed is because instead of them scrolling through their Facebook, they might as well just, you know, join us. Commitment. Faithfulness. He that is faithful in little. In little. People see Alive Church. Alive Church didn't fall from heaven. It's commitment. My friend, do you know how commitment, well, how painful it is after preaching services on Sunday, I have to return back here Monday morning to lead prayers in this cold? My friend, if you think it's easy, I will help you. I will simplify the journey. I'll give you the prayer points. You don't have to prepare that one. I'll help you. I'll simplify the journey. I will even give you a ride. I'll come collect you from your house. I'll give you the prayer points. Then you stand here. Do you know how difficult it is? You're standing here speaking to imaginary people, hoping that the person that is praying in their house. Do you know how committed? That must be some brutal commitment to be doing that every day. That you're speaking to camera. Nobody's there. You don't know if the person is listening to you or not. Because they might have just logged in and moved on with their life. I'll help you. If you want to volunteer. I have the prayer points you will use. You don't even have to prepare prayer point. I'm not even giving you the bed. You'll stand here for 1 hour. It requires commitment. Our life church didn't fall from heaven. It's commitment. Stubborn faithfulness in the face of accusations. How can they are looking for our man? In the face of xenophobic attacks. You're going to those Nigerian churches. You won't understand. The pain I've had to go through to stay faithful to the assignment of heaven. Accusations. Lies. People who don't know you just spread lies about you and conclude on your case. They've not met you. They've not encountered you. They've not done anything. They've not even seen you. You didn't take anything from them. From nowhere. Do you know what it is? It's commitment. It takes faithfulness. To still wake up and still lift your voice and still speak a blessing. So anybody who jealousies Alive Church will just die prematurely. I'm serious, because the investment of faithfulness and commitment. I've had pastors preach against me in this city. That you're going to that church where the pastor uses a passport. You won't understand that statement, but their members understand. It takes commitment. Brutal commitment, stubborn commitment. That no matter what you throw at me, I'm not looking back. I'm a man on a mission. I'm a woman on a mission. I'm staying committed to this God. You don't have to like me, but the result will speak for itself. I pray for you. You are not giving up in the name of Jesus. God has not brought you this far to leave you. The God who has preserved you, He will elevate you in the name of Jesus. He will bring you to the place of testimonies in the name of Jesus. Your glory days are here in the name of Jesus. I announce to the hearing of creation, you are unbreakable in the name of Jesus. I say you are unbreakable in the name of Jesus. Give Jesus your highest praise. Celebrate Him. You are unbreakable. You are unbreakable. No devil will break you. Give Jesus praise. You are unbreakable. Let them keep throwing at you. My commitment to God remains the same. Lift your voice and reinforce your commitment before God this morning again. Remind yourself, God, I stay committed to you. no matter what I go through, no matter the seasons I experience, my faithfulness to God will remain the same. I remain faithful. I remain faithful to the cause. Even in seasons of detour, even in seasons of detour, when the location, the route is different from the destination, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. There's a song by, you can keep playing that one, it's fine. Song by Tony McCauley, say, I'll trust you, Lord. I'll trust you. Even if it doesn't look like it, I'll trust you. And I'll remain committed. Lift your voice and say, Lord Jesus, I trust you. I'll remain committed. Thunder, I'll remain committed. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.